good all the time. Amen. Please be seated.
Our first scripture reading comes to us today from 1 John chapter 4, 4 through 11. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And our second reading comes from Luke chapter 15, 11 through 31. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What was going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours.'"
I'd like to invite children to come down. Pile in. Good job. Squeeze in. Come on. Coming down. Bring mama. That's good. squeeze over, make one way or the other. Move this way. Everyone move this way. All right, they can sit right there. Perfect. We'll get it done somehow. Good job. Welcome. Nice of you to join us today. I'm a dad. So say happy. Good, good. Happy Father's Day. I have a father, but he's not here anymore. I had a grandfather growing up, but he's not here anymore either. Can you guess what happened to my grandpa and my father? They died. Yeah. Now, in one sense, when you don't have a mother or a father, what would they call you? An orphan, yes. They would call you an orphan. But here's the best news. I'm not an orphan. Because there's one more father that I have in my life. Only he's so cool, he lets me call him Daddy. Did you know that? Did you hear that song we sang? I call you Father. And down below in the one corner it said Abba. That's the word Daddy. Abba. And God said, I can call him Daddy. So even though my grandpa's not with me anymore, and my dad is not with me anymore, who is still with me? And I'm really not an orphan at all. God the Father is with me. And so in my sermon today, we're going to be talking about how hard it is to be a father. Do you think it's easy for God to raise you guys? Would your dad and your mom say, you are so perfect. You do everything we tell you to. You always keep your room clean. You never tease brothers or sisters or uncles, aunts or cousins. And you're always busy doing the right things. And you go like this and little dimples in your cheek. Me either. Me either. I would sometimes do things and my father would have to spank me. And I deserved it. And sometimes I'd cry. And sometimes he would let me go and not give me a spanking, even when I did deserve a spanking. Now, he wasn't the perfect father, but I love him very much. And though he's not with me now, I know my heavenly Father is with me. And you ready for this part? He also won't let me do things that are wrong. And if necessary, he will spank me. Even if I'm an old guy. So here's what I want you to remember for Father's Day. Number one, I want you to remember how fortunate we are to have, in some cases, earthly fathers that are close and take good care of us. And we also have the Heavenly Father who's with us no matter what. And he loves us so much, he says, why don't you just call me Daddy? You know why he did that? So that you'd never be afraid to talk to him. So I'm going to explain that in the sermon, and I want you to listen. In the sermon, there's going to be three stories. They're all true about fathers and kids. And guess what? A lot of the kids I'm going to be talking about today were very naughty kids. Naughty, okay? Kind of like me. And in the stories I'm going to be talking today, it's going to be helping us understand about fathers and daddy, and most of all, our heavenly, that we can call Daddy. Good. All right. Here we go, gang. Make a little spot there for me. Ladies first. You each get one. Grab two if you're grabbing one for your mom or dad. For sisters and brothers that are absent, you can grab one. Don't eat in front of your mom and dad. Take one for him. Why don't you take one for your dad, too? He likes that stuff. He'll pretend he doesn't want it. Thank you. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Five, four, Grab a handful if you can't do anything else. 3, 2, going once. Bag's coming away. Grab another one. Atta girl. It's good. Any fathers that feel slighted or men, you can come up later and get your candy. So, sometimes it's interesting. You know, I didn't have Mother's Day this year. Well, I did, but I didn't. You guys gave me that time off to be with my grandkids, which was really wonderful. But I thought I was going to be moralistic for a moment, where there's no power in moralism. It's like preaching law. There's no power in learning law, okay? But it does teach us some lessons, okay? So we've got the example in the reading that Tom read for you this morning of the prodigal's father. Good example of a father, by the way. Not bad. So I wanted to start with Eli. I thought that would be a good father to check out. Eli was an interesting character. He was a high priest, a priest of God, and he was a not very good father. In other words, Scripture's been written so we can learn. And sometimes we learn from the good things people do. Sometimes we learn from the foolish or the evil things people do. And for the moment, I'm just going to pick on poor Eli. And there are a bunch of different passages that relate to what Eli and his boys did. It says this, "Now the sons of Eli were worthless men." Are you listening, kids? "The sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord." Oh, they sat in church. They had a religious guy for a father, but they did not know the Lord. Another spot says, "Now Eli was very old and heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel and how they slept with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. So he said to them, 'Why do you do such things? I hear from all the people about these wicked deeds of yours. No, my sons, it's not a good report that I hear spreading among the Lord's people. If a man sins against another man, God can mediate for him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him?' His sons, however, did not listen to their father's rebuke." Sometimes we have good fathers and stubborn kids. I fit that mold a little bit. Okay? My father wasn't perfect. Yours probably isn't either. But I wouldn't trade my dad for anybody, because I learned lots and lots of lessons from him that I needed to learn. Now, Eli's boys were so bad, they didn't care. They not only didn't listen to their earthly father, they didn't listen to their heavenly father, and Eli did not punish them. So first lesson, Dad, here's a moral lesson for you. Don't fail to punish the kids when they deserve it. Don't think being soft on them is a solution, because it's not what Scripture teaches. And guess what? I learned punishment hurts. Do you think my Heavenly Father also has had to punish me? Yes. Because he hates me? No. Because he loves me. My earthly father helped me understand that. My Heavenly Father makes sure that he is reminding me of that every day. Eli didn't do anything. And finally, later on, you know how the story ends. I hope it ends like this. "Now a man came to Eli and said to him, 'This is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal to you myself, to your father's house, that when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh, I chose your father out of all the tribes to be my priest? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel?'" They were stealing from the church. They were stealing from the Lord. They were stealing a portion of the sacrifice that did not belong to them. The bigger question was, why do you love them more than me? That's a hard one, fathers, isn't it? Who do you love more, them or me? When God says that, don't assume he's going to invite you to be tougher or be meaner. He might teach you how to be forgiving. He might be teaching you a lot of other things, but please understand, he's very much aware when you put the wrong thing in front of him, up to including your own children. And so you and I are learning a lesson as we go forward. You know, you kind of know the end of the story. Eli asks to the guy that just ran up to him, what happened, my son? Not his literal son, just a friendly way of asking that. The man who brought the news replied, Israel fled from the Philistines and the army has suffered heavy losses. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the Ark of God has been captured. When he mentioned the Ark of God, Eli fell backward off his chair by the side of the gate. His neck was broken and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. He had led Israel 40 years. The story of a father whose primary problem was not a lack of love, a wrong focus of it, loving his family, his children, more than he loved God. But don't worry. If you're worried about this warning, please understand, God permits a father to express love for his children wholly and totally, but he won't permit them not to discipline them. He won't permit a Hophni and Phinehas to get away with it. The Father, your Heavenly Father, will tell you, I know he's your son. I know you want to give him another chance. I know all of that. The answer is no. He's got to receive the proper consequence for the wickedness of his behavior. It finally ends up taking Eli's life because Eli was so compromised, he was such a questionable father in his own right that he ended up with these same situation. The two boys die, and so does he. So I pick on David for you next. Perfect example of a father. Saw something he wanted, beautiful woman, wasn't married to her, belonged to another man. He decided, I will take her, and he did. And later on, when she finds out she's pregnant, he decides, I will make sure that her husband is home and takes the blame for the baby. But her husband is too faithful to God in his actions and behavior and says, I won't rest or sleep with my wife while all the other soldiers are out fighting. King David, the questionable father he was, came up with a subtle plan. And Uriah, the wife of Bathsheba, was killed by the enemy soldiers. David had to repent of that. But he set a tone in his family by his wickedness. It was a wickedness and a consequence that crept into people's lives around him because they had seen him live for himself. They had experienced him and became aware, probably at one point or another, of the wickedness of not only committing the sin, but committing the cover-up and pretending he really didn't do it. And he paid such a heavy price that when one of his sons, Absalom by name, came up with a revolt against his father and was pursued by David's own soldiers, even at the request of David, please don't kill Absalom, is eventually killed, and David spends his time crying, O Absalom, my son, my son, O Absalom, my son. How much more I would have preferred that I die for you. Do you think for a second he did not love his kids too? You have to understand, in the process, it is unbelievably difficult to be a father or a mother. It's unbelievably difficult to be a Christian example because kids are watching you. Kids are listening to you. They watch how you talk about your family, your wives, your children, your husbands. What, do you think they don't listen when you've got three people in the kitchen gossiping about something and the kids are grabbing a cookie? Which of you did not listen when you heard adults talking? I would put my head right by the floor vent. I could hear what was going on in the kitchen, right through the floor vents. And they pretended like we couldn't hear. And I go, what do we think is going on? And yet David, at the same time, a man after God's own heart, a man who the mercy of God is poured out on, has another example for us, like King David, where we begin to understand we have to set a good example because our example affects the behavior and the values of our children more than we can possibly know. If you want to know how to love your kids, love their mother. If you want to know how to discipline kids, learn how to love your mother, their mother properly. And if you want to learn how to properly be a father, love God more than you love your kid. And that father will teach you how to be a father. I really don't care what your father was like today. I don't care if he was the most wonderful man in the world or the most wretched man in the world. It's totally irrelevant to God. Because God says, I am your father. And that's why I picked the last text that we have here that comes out of 1 John. It says this, you people, all of you need to understand this significant step that you are in. You are from God. You are from God. You have been generated by the power and mercy of God into a father who is to be after God's own heart. My father was not perfect. My father did a lot of things I could air out in front of you that would be foolish and stupid right now, but they indicated that he was hardly a perfect man. And at the same time, I wouldn't trade him for anything. That doesn't make it perfect either. But I will tell you that I've learned to see my earthly father through the eyes of my heavenly father. And in that moment, you begin to understand how hard it is to be a father or a mother or a child. And yet at the same time, we now look at this example where here the writer of 1 John, John goes, do you guys understand that you're from God? God's your daddy. I don't care what your earthly father did or did to you. God's your daddy. Not every spanking I got I deserve. Well, maybe every one I did. You guys know me well enough. But there are things that I got away with that I should have never gotten away with. And you begin to understand an imperfect father doing his very best to raise a son had only one ultimate answer. The Heavenly Father has spoken into my heart as he speaks into your heart as a father or a mother or a child. And he points this out. You have overcome the world. You do not have to buy into the world, the abuse and the ridicule of fatherhood, the attack that is out there kind of frontal in this crazy culture that calls fathers that simply assert themselves and discipline children and give them all kinds of names and labels. Instead, you are responding to the leadership of your heavenly father. That's what his point ultimately is, as he points out here. It goes on, he says, because the one in you is greater than the one who is in the world. It doesn't matter whether your father beat you, whether he was unfaithful to your mother, whether he died when you were so little you can't remember him, or whatever situation you want to name, it's irrelevant to God. Not irrelevant in the sense that he doesn't want to minister to you, but irrelevant in the sense that he will never let it become your excuse for bad parenting or bad husbanding or bad fathering, because it will not impact on the way he feels, responds, and loves you. There are no perfect fathers. Raise my hand and you can join me when you're ready. There are none but the Heavenly Father. And his point is this, you're from me. I am in you, and I am greater than what you're dealing with in the world, up to including, and we were joking about it, sometimes fathering is hard work, and you really just want to kind of wring a few necks. And Yeah. God loves you even when you feel that way. Going on from there, it says, therefore, they are from the world. All those people out there, they're from the world. They speak from the viewpoint of the world. And the world listens to them. Of course we don't need men. Of course the problem in America is not fatherless homes. That's what the world says. But wisdom tells you, you need a father who's following the Heavenly Father in order to receive all that God wants for you. And if your father is not around, or if your father is dead, or if your father is no good, God whispers to you, and what are you going to use that as an excuse? I am your father. Who's your daddy? You are, Lord. Say it again. Who's your daddy? And you go, you are, Lord. If you've seen that movie and you understand that kind of thing, it was an example of then quit your whining. Live in the power that God has poured into you, because this is what it really means to be called by the Father to be a father, to be called by God and give you the grace and the strength to challenge, to live each day for all the things He wants you to be to the mother, to the children, and to each one of your offspring, as well as people around you. We are from God, the writer John continues, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever does not know God does not listen to us. They can't hear it. You could speak it out the same way over an unbeliever. He could sit there and go, what are you guys talking about? Why are you even bringing that stuff up? And his point ultimately goes on, this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood in people. Do you recognize that spirit of falsehood? When someone talks, but there's no actions to the behaviors. And you begin to understand. Here's John's point that he goes on to. This is what he continues on. Beloved, let's love one another. All right? Raise your hand, Dad, if you don't need more love. Raise your hand, Dad, if you wouldn't like to hear this. This knocked my socks off this morning. I got one card so far, but this is my son's text, if I can find it for you. I get this text from my son. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I love you and am blessed beyond measure to have you as a God-fearing dad in my life. Oh, my. I don't deserve that. Ask me if I need it. I need it. I need to hear that in my successes and in my failures, my son somehow saw God and experienced God in me and took the time to send that note to me. Now, whether the other kids do or don't, it's not a judgment. It's just an acknowledgement. Do you need encouragement? Absolutely. Do you need to be loved? Absolutely. Are you going to be perfect from here on out? Absolutely not. Are you a good enough father to hear the voice of God telling you, what do I do with this child who? Remember, even the prodigal father, who by example loved those kids very much, both of them, stood there watching for his youngest rebellious son to come home. And in that example of the youngest son, what does he do? He runs out there when the son has finally come to his senses and recognizes the stupidity of what he had been doing. The father had the courage and the self-discipline to release him to his own wickedness because he could not hold him any longer. But I know, because he was out there watching for his return, that he prayed for him every day. And he was asking God to bring his boy back home. When he saw him, it says he ran to meet his son, threw his arms around him. Name a father or a son that does not need that every day of their life. My heavenly daddy actually throws his arms around me when I'm falling apart or crying or uncertain of what to do with people I love, with my own family members, with situations in my life. And so the message is, my dad whispers these kinds of words into this undeserving son's ear. How much more so should I whisper it into my children's ears with the right kind of warning, the right kind of insight that God gives to us? He goes on from there and says this. Let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is agape. The word love is agape in each of these points. This is how God showed his agape among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Do you understand how significant that statement is? I love you, Bruce. You're an idiot. I love you, Bruce. You're a jerk. I love you, Bruce. You are evil sometimes down to your core. I love you, Bruce. I will call you to be mine. I will raise you up. I will give you a new heart. I will walk with you in each day of your life. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And to demonstrate that, my Son will be sacrificed for your benefit so that you will know what love really means. And you will understand how precious you are to me. And so in that moment, we're hearing God whisper to the fathers, to the men, to the women, to the children in this congregation, I love you. This is not going to end. I am committed to you. Some of you will be prodigals. Some of you will walk away. You walk away, you aren't stopped being loved by me. I will give you your freedom to sin. I will give you your freedom to go to hell if that's what you want. But I will not stop loving you. I always like to say the only way you can go to hell is to step all over the body of Christ to get there. You got to step them down into the ground. You got to crush him before you can get into hell. But he will let you do that to him. And so while Father's Day honors fathers, it really honors the Heavenly Father, because he's the one who makes us a day useful in all of our lives and finishes off like this. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We owe it to people. We use the example of the very servant that owed his master trillions of dollars. And his master brought him in and said, I want you to pay me the money. And the servant fell on his face and said, I can't get it. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. And the master said, I forgive you your trillions of dollars of debt. But one of that servant's servant owed him $10,000. And that servant brought him in and beat on him until he demanded the money and threw him in jail, and then his family in jail. Do you understand how unforgiving we are capable of being? In the very middle of the love of God, what can't you forgive someone for? Why? We were talking about the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses. The same way we forgive others their sins against us. How many of you are locking yourself out of the grace of God, praying that prayer ignorantly and foolishly, going, I'm going to hold this grudge. I'm going to feel this way about my wife, my husband, my son, my daughter, my mother, my father. And in that grudge, I'll be justified. And God says, as you wish, I will forgive you the same way you have forgiven others who have sinned against you. Maybe you want to rethink whether or not you pray that part of the prayer. Or you may want to rethink whether or not you understand what forgiveness is really all about and what love really means. And so in the moment as we come at the very end, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. It is a happy Father's Day. Not because both of my father and my grandfather are gone, but because my Heavenly Father continues on. He worked diligently through each of those two men in my life and a lot of other people. And I hope that in some little way I bring honor to their name and to what they have done for me in my life. But I also pray that each one of us, male or female, husband, wife, man or woman, makes no difference to God. He still calls us into that kind of faithfulness. May the men, the fathers, the women, the daughters live faithfully in their walk with God, and may they walk in the love that God has shown them. As we continue with prayer, join me, please. Lord, I've never been all that you've wanted me to be. I still struggle with it today. But I do pray, Lord, a prayer of thanks for my grandfather and for my father, a prayer of thanks for all the men, the fathers, the women that have made a difference in my life by forgiving, by loving, by teaching, by correcting, and even by shouting at me. Thank you, Lord, that in the middle of it, your hand of mercy and grace was upon me. And I thank you, Lord, for the lessons you have left to teach me. And I pray, Lord, with my brothers and sisters here, that we would grow in our appreciation of mothers and fathers in our life, that we would recognize the imperfections that we have to forgive in them the same way you continue to forgive us. And in that, Lord, set us free. Bring a level of peace and confidence and joy because, Lord Jesus, we are following and living out in the power of your Spirit the love and joy and peace that only you can pour there. Teach us your ways, Lord. Teach us what it really means to be your people. We pray all this in your name. Amen.